హలో లిసనర్స్, వెల్కమ్ టు అనదర్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఆఫ్ సర్జికల్ ఎడ్యుకేటర్ పాడ్కాస్ట్. ఐ ఆమ్ యువర్ హోస్ట్ అండ్ టుడే వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు అన్రావెల్ ద కాంప్లెక్సిటీస్ ఆఫ్ అబ్స్ట్రక్టివ్ జాండిస్. దిస్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఇస్ టైలర్డ్ ఫార్ MBBS స్టూడెంట్స్ అండ్ సర్జికల్ ట్రైనీస్ హూ వాంట్ టు డీపెన్ their understanding of this important condition. Joining us today is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, an expert in general and pediatric surgery. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you, MC. It is a pleasure to be here to shed light on this important topic. To begin, Dr. Selvaraj, could you please explain what is jaundice and what is obstructive jaundice? Certainly, it is a medical condition with yellowing of the skin or sclera of the eyes arising from excess of pigment bilirubin and typically caused by excessive breakdown of red blood cells by liver disease or obstruction of the bile duct. If it is because of excessive RBCs breakdown because of hemolytic anemias, it is called prehepatic jaundice. If it is caused by defective liver function, it is called hepatic jaundice. If it is caused by an obstruction in the flow of the bile from the liver into the small intestine, it is called post-hepatic obstructive or surgical jaundice. This results in accumulation of conjugated bilirubin in the bloodstream, causing yellow coloring of the skin and eyes. What are the typical causes of obstructive jaundice that medical students and surgical trainees should be aware of? The common causes include intraluminal causes or gallstone. This can block the bile ducts, which is called choledocholithiasis, or parasites like the Chinese liver fluke, that is Clonarchis sinensis, or Ascariasis lumbricoides, or the roundworm. The mural causes are causes in the wall pathology, bile duct strictures, or this is narrowing of the bile ducts due to inflammation or scarring. If it is a benign stricture, it is because of primary sclerosing cholangitis. Malignant stricture is because of cholangiocarcinoma. And then the extramural causes are pancreatic cancer, tumors in the head of the pancreas, and periampullary carcinoma. Both can compress the common bile duct, the terminal part of the common bile duct, or enlarged lymph node in portohepatis, often due to primary cancer elsewhere like stomach or colon cancer. These can press the extrahepatic biliary ducts, causing obstructive jaundice. How do patients with obstructive jaundice typically present? The patients may have, number one, jaundice. This is yellowing of the skin and eyes due to excessive conjugated bilirubin in the blood. Number two, dark urine. This is due to excessive conjugated bilirubin, which is getting excreted in the urine because it is water soluble. Number three, pale color stool. Lack of bile in the intestine, which is called acolic stools, because no bile is entering into the intestine and eventually no stercobilin formation, which is the cause for the yellow coloration of the fecal matter. Number 4, abdominal pain, especially if the gallstone or the cholecystitis is the cause for the obstructive jaundice, usually these patients will have pain in the right upper quadrant. Loss of appetite and weight loss common in malignancies like carcinoma of the head of the pancreas or periampullary carcinoma. When a patient present with suspected obstructive jaundice, what diagnostic steps are commonly taken? The diagnostic workup for obstructive jaundice includes, number 1, blood test, check bilirubin levels, liver enzymes and other markers. The total bilirubin and direct or conjugated bilirubin both are elevated in obstructive jaundice. Alkaline phosphatase and GGT both will be elevated if there is a hepatobiliary pathology. If only ALP, that is alkaline phosphatase alone, is elevated and GGT is normal, that means the elevated alkaline phosphatase is because of some other pathology like bony pathology, pregnancy, leukemia, or even in normal pediatric population, the alkaline phosphatase will be elevated. Both AST and ALT are mildly elevated. Number 2, urine test. In obstructive jaundice, conjugated bilirubin is excreted in urine because it is water soluble. In normal person's urine, there is presence of urobilinogen. Imaging studies, that is number 3, investigations, imaging studies such as ultrasound, CT scan of the abdomen or MRI to visualize the bile ducts, both intrahepatic as well as extrahepatic bile ducts, and locate the site of obstruction is possible. Number 4, endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography or ERCP. This is the gold standard investigation for any biliary pathology because this test is not only diagnostic, if there are stones in the common bile duct, we can even remove them with ERCP. That is why this is not only a diagnostic procedure, this is a therapeutic procedure as well. If it is cholecystitis, we can use ERCP to remove the stones also by doing sphincterotomy and Damia basket extraction or balloon swipe. In cholecystitis, we can see the stones as filling defects in CBD. In periampullary carcinoma, you can get dual duct sign, not only in periampullary, both in in cancer of head of the pancreas and periampullary carcinoma, you can get the dual duct sign because of extensive compression of both the pancreatic and bile ducts. Number 5, biopsy. If we are suspecting a tumor or malignancy, then a tissue sample may be taken for analysis by endoscopic ultrasound. If obstructive jaundice is because of cholecystitis, how these patients present and subsequently what complications can develop? If it is a case of obstructive jaundice because of cholecystitis, the patient present with Charcot's triad, that is right upper quadrant pain, fever and intermittent jaundice, and this is ascending cholangitis. This can be managed by powerful broad spectrum antibiotics, but if the ascending cholangitis is not treated in time, patient may develop what is called suppurative cholangitis, characterized by Raynaud's pentad that includes hypotension and altered mental status apart from the right upper quadrant pain, fever and jaundice. This suppurative cholangitis is an acute surgical emergency and should be treated by surgical intervention. That is, we can do a ERCP, try to negotiate the stone and try to put a stent inside and bring the end of this stent through the nose outside. And this is called nasobiliary drainage. Or this is also can be treated by PTBD, that is percutaneous transhepatic biliary drainage. Through the skin, we can poke a very thin and long needle through the skin, through the liver, and we can poke it directly into the intrahepatic dilated biliary radicals. The moment we poke these dilated intrahepatic biliary ducts, the bile inside will be gushing out because it is under tension because of the obstruction. Okay. What is Courvoisier's law and different features of cholelithiasis versus carcinoma head of the pancreas? Courvoisier's law is, in a jaundice patient, if gallbladder is palpably enlarged, it is not due to gallstone. There are few exemptions to this law. They are, number one, double impaction of stones both in CBD as well as in cystic duct. Number two, primary cholelithiasis where the stone is, CBD stone is developing in the CBD itself and it is not a secondary stone from gallbladder. Number three, CBD obstruction is not due to gallstone. For example, it may be because of some worm obstruction or some other cause like strictures. Number four, pancreatic stone is obstructing the terminal part of the CBD or the common channel. So these are the four exemptions to this Courvoisier's law. And regarding the difference between cholelithiasis and CA head of the pancreas, the jaundice in cholelithiasis is painful and intermittent, whereas in CA head of the pancreas, it is painless and progressive jaundice. Courvoisier's gallbladder is not palpable in cholelithiasis because majority of the cholelithiasis are secondary and these gallstones are developing in the gallbladder. So the gallbladder is already diseased or become fibrotic because of repeated infection and inflammation, so that the gallbladder cannot get distended. Whereas in CA head of the pancreas, we can palpate a non-tender gallbladder in the right upper quadrant. ERCP finding in cholelithiasis, you can see the filling defects of these CBD stones in the common bile duct. Whereas in CA head of the pancreas, ERCP will show what is called dual duct sign because of the extrinsic compression of the carcinoma of the head of the pancreas. Both the common bile duct and the pancreatic duct, both are dilated. Regarding the prognosis, cholelithiasis has got good prognosis, whereas CA head of the pancreas, the prognosis is very dismal, irrespective of the stage of the disease. Once the cause of obstructive jaundice is identified, how it is managed? Management depends on the cause. Suppose if it is gallstone, removal by surgery or endoscopy. Cholelithiasis, CBD stones can be extracted with ERCP CBD stone extraction with Damia basket or balloon swipe. However, open or lap cholecystectomy also should be done in these cases. If we couldn't remove the CBD stones with ERCP, we can do open cholecystectomy. If the cause for obstructive jaundice is tumors, it may require surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. For carcinoma head of the pancreas and periampullary carcinoma, we can do Whipple's operation or pancreatoduodenectomy. For cholangiocarcinoma, radical excision of the bile duct with or without liver segment resection. Bile duct strictures, dilatation and stenting to widen the duct if it is a benign stricture. For cholangiocarcinoma, we have to do radical excision of the bile duct with or without liver segment resection. If there are infection, then we have to treat the infection with appropriate medication. If lymph node enlargement is the cause for the obstructive jaundice, you have to treat the primary cause for this lymph node enlargement. Sometimes they may shrink with treatment. When do cases of obstructive jaundice typically need surgical intervention? Surgery is often required when gallstones are causing blockage and complications, or tumors are there which are operable and these tumors are causing obstruction to the bile flow. Bile duct strictures are not amenable to other treatments like dilatation and stenting. Severe complications such as infection or pancreatitis, all these are indications for surgical intervention. Finally, what can students and trainees expect in terms of patient outcomes? The prognosis depends on the underlying cause and how early it is detected. Timely diagnosis and appropriate treatment can lead to good outcomes. However, if left untreated, obstructive jaundice can lead to severe complications. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for your valuable insights into obstructive jaundice. This information is crucial for medical professionals in their journey of understanding and treating this important condition, the obstructive jaundice. It has been a pleasure, and I hope this podcast helps our listeners gain a deeper understanding of obstructive jaundice. Remember, early diagnosis and immediate intervention are key to improving patient outcomes. Absolutely. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. Keep exploring the world of surgery with Surgical Educator Podcast. And until next time, stay curious. Bye-bye. Until we are going to meet next time. Bye-bye.